is a combination of a couple lectures, one I gave at the European Water Management Conference in Denmark in May, and then another one specifically on Haiti that I've given several times, so I just kind of combined those two. The thing that's interesting about the European Wound Management Conference was I was lecturing to physicians from all over the world, many of them who were not familiar with podiatry, and I was able to show them the importance of podiatry, and I think that's where our opportunity lies in the developing world, is a lot of these countries have no idea what podiatry is, and by working with them and their leaders in both healthcare and their ministers of health, usually, we can expand podiatry's role worldwide. I don't have a non-disclosure slide, but I have no disclosures to make. Evidence-based medicine has revealed that amputations and hospitalizations can be reduced while saving money in management of the diabetic foot with a single controlled variable. And that single controlled variable is podiatric medicine and surgery. So I kind of came up with the three P's of podiatric management of the diabetic foot in the developing world, and pretty common sense stuff, preventative podiatric care like Emily talked about, proactive podiatric care, and then post-incident podiatric care. And we'll come back to those in a second. The thing about developing countries is they face greater difficulties in amputation prevention with worse morbidity and mortality rates in their diabetic patients than some of the studies that we have seen that really have taken place in developed countries like the U.S. or Europe. And just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, let's see if I get this to play. This was from 2009. I was at World Diabetes Day in Port-au-Prince. This is at the General Hospital, which is still standing barely after the earthquake. But and these are just general rounds. I mean, these weren't like special patients that they had saved for me. And this is just some of the crazy stuff that you see in underdeveloped countries that, you know, you don't necessarily see in developed countries. Guy right there on the left that's talking, he's now a pediatric orthopedic surgeon. He's a good friend of mine. He's the only pediatric orthopedic surgeon in the whole country for 10 million people. This is back when he was still a resident and I bossed him around a little bit. But. And these patients, I mean, they just look at you with such, like, what are you going to, how can you help me? They see a Caucasian doctor walking in there, they think that, you know, somehow things are going to be saved, but unfortunately it's too late. It's just, and you can just see by these wounds. So this video is just a couple of minutes long, but there's one in particular I want you to see. Thank you.
Her heel pad is a little bit raw, but it looks pretty healthy. Has it been moist that might be wrong? Has it been wet or moist? Is that why it's so wrong? The skin?
I mean, this is the leading teaching hospital in the country, and this is the kind of stuff that is presenting there. Well, she has peripheral arterial disease and diabetes both, so I'm just trying to figure out if it's salvageable or not, because we'll talk about the amputation stuff in a second after the video, but unfortunately, in my opinion, a amputation in underdeveloped countries almost a certain death sentence. it's just literally flapping over. It's barely connected to the medial side by just some skin. And at this point, just trying to figure out, is this an AK or a BK? And the humility these people have, I mean, they're just, you know, I love Haitians. I've been there 16 times now. Still not much better. I was there a week ago and I showed some of you a picture from a kid who I saw. He still sees stuff that just, you know, takes your breath away. You're just astonished. So on this lady, I was asking, did she have a Syme amputation? I thought she had a Syme's amputation. Because clearly there was no foot here. And they're like, no, her foot just fell off, literally just fell off, and you see the remnants of it. I mean, her foot literally fell off. And that's what she had by. So that's the kind of crazy stuff that you see in underdeveloped countries. So what are the numbers in Haiti? I think... this helps put things in perspective. The estimated population is 10 million. FADIMAC, which is an organization I'll talk more about in a little bit, did a study in 2006. And in general, the rate of diabetes in Haiti is about 7%, which is similar to other countries. And if you use the rule of 15s, which puts us at about 700,000 plus diabetics, 110,000 ulcerations, and about 16,500 in amputations. So. Those are just some numbers to sort of put in the back of your mind. And when you talk about amputations, this study was in the International Cardiovascular Thoracic Surgery Journal in 2012. It's from Denmark. And they looked at the 30-day mortality rates and the one-year mortality rate for amputations. Most of the amputations were transfemoral, transtibial. Most of them were like 92 or 4% were either related to diabetes or to peripheral arterial disease. And the higher the comorbidities, the higher the mortality rates went up. So this is in Denmark, you know, in a developed country with the best, you know, some of the best healthcare in the world. Their 30-day mortality rate was 30%, and their one-year mortality rate was 54%. So if we apply those numbers to Haiti, you're talking about 5,000 Haitians die within 30 days and, you know, 9,000 with a year. And the thing about Haiti is very similar to San Francisco. It reminds me a lot of San Francisco. It's very hill, Port-au-Prince especially. It's very hilly. It's sort of in the valley, so it's very mountainy, so it's a lot of climbing. The most common mode of transportation is by foot, like you were saying, in India. Shoe wear is terrible. I can't believe I was there, like I said, last week, and I was seeing all these patients in the wound care center, and they're all wearing sandals or flip-flops or whatever, so their shoe wear is awful. The roads are awful, so walking on bad roads. Narrow roads, you know, constantly dodging cars and stuff like that. So I think the numbers in an underdeveloped country are going to be substantially less, what I'm getting at. So what are some of our obstacles in Haiti? First, and this is the limiting, and I've said this from day one when I talk to people down there and we discuss this program, we have no vascular surgery available at all. And although I did meet a vascular surgeon when I was there last week. He works at the university. I had never met him before. He's one of the few people I don't know there. And he actually asked me to lecture at the medical school, so I'm excited to see what he said. He does fem-pop bypasses, so there's no endovascular surgery going on there at all, but there apparently may be some fem-pop bypass surgery going on. We'll see. So that's a limiting factor. Right now, there's one formal wound care center in the country for 10 million plus people. It's a formal wound care center established. There's really no offloading going on. There's no preventative care going on. Actually, I'll take that back. There is some preventative care going on, but it's minimal. There's minimal use of diabetic shoes, orthotics, and bracing. There's very minimal to no prophylactic foot surgery going on. No reconstructive foot surgery training. And really no biomechanics training either. So those are some of the obstacles that we face in this program. So what are some of the goals? To develop a comprehensive Haitian diabetic foot program and limb preservation, saving limbs and lives. You know, making a Haitian program that's sort of supported by international teaching. A teaching center of excellence for the Caribbean. And because of some of the people involved who work with the World Health Organization and the World Alliance for Lymph and for Wound Care and Lymphedema Management, developing a model for the developing world through the World Health Organization. Some of our goals, we know that dedicated wound care centers can decrease amputation rates by 45 to 80%, studies have shown. So in Haiti, if we apply those numbers, we can eliminate between 6,200 and 11,000 amputations in Haiti, saving, you know, 3,500 to 6,000 lives based on a one-year mortality rate of 54%. So truly making an impact. This is me in 2009 teaching the football dressing, which is a simple offloading method. So what is our solution? Well, this team has modified a little bit since, but this is our international satellite support team. And I'll get back to some of the important people here in a second. But we're trying to have an international support team, but this needs to be a program for Haitians run by Haitians. And, you know, not something that we're going to come in and do. We're going to come in and teach. These are the important people. We're not the important people. So this is the staff at the clinic. And they're great. They're all fantastic. I know some of their names, not all of them, but I'm getting to know their names as I go back more often. The location is Bernard and Reb's Hospital Project MediShare Wound Care Center. It's in Port-au-Prince, which is the capital of Haiti. Our most important asset is this guy right here. His name's Dr. Francis. He's a general surgeon who's a full-time wound care physician now at the hospital. He does general wound care surgery. Working with him, trying to teach him foot surgery. He does a great job in running the wound care. He's actually getting almost like a master's in management right now, in addition to his MD, to help better manage the clinic, so he learns the sort of management part of it, because he's in charge of the whole thing. Interestingly enough, you know, the wound care is funded through a private donor right now, the whole wound care center. The diabetic foot program is a separate entity within the wound care center. His salary, all their salaries are paid right now by one donor. So it seems like, you know, we're constantly fighting that uphill battle of funding. But really our driving force is this guy right here. I have a few real life heroes that I've been fortunate enough to work with and spend time with. And John McDonald and I've become friends with him. I met John when I went down for the earthquake. I went down a week after the earthquake. John went down a week, or he went down the day after the earthquake. He is a retired thoracic surgeon from the University of Miami who went into wound care. He's big in the wound care world. He was president of some organizations. I don't remember which one. So he set up the wound care center after the earthquake. I came down the week after, took over for him. Then he came back. So he took that wound care center that originated from the earthquake and made it into the wound care center that we have at Bernard Meds Hospital now. So he's the one that, you know, made this from a temporary, you know, post-earthquake wound care center into a sustained form of wound care center. And he's the one that gets all of our funding right now because he's an unbelievable speaker and very dynamic personality. So we want to use evidence-based medicine to develop a comprehensive diabetic foot program based out of Hospital Bernard Meds Project MediShare. We want to have a preventative foot care program at FODIMOC, which I'll talk about that place in a second. Diabetes management through FODIMOC. Have a bracing program. I just discovered this place when I was there a week ago called Brock. They do bracing of all types. They actually take negative impressions, make positive mold traumatic, and make orthoses. They're doing, you know, prosthetics for amputees. They're doing club foot bracing too. So this place actually can do what we need to be done. I've tried a couple other places in the country over the past year or so, and none of them have been able to really do what we need. So I'm excited to work with them. And I think they're funded by USAID, so the cost for them to make a diabetic orthotic is like $25 US, which is pretty affordable there comparative to some of the other stuff we've been running into. The biggest thing that I'm trying to impart down there is functional amputations instead of BKs, that's a typo, but BKs or AKs when possible. If you can maintain the limb, whether it's a transmet, whatever, and patients can still walk, they can still have a chance, I think. And then using prophylactic foot surgery when indicated. And then establishing a teaching center of excellence. And expanding throughout Haiti once we have our central hub, and then having regional hubs and satellite hubs outside of that. So the wound center that we're working at, Dr. Francouz put this, he's been keeping great stats. So you can see that from January to July, number of patients' visits, work days, average patients are seeing about 40 patients per day. Now, the room they work in is about the size of this room. There are like two little sort of section off areas like would be in that corner. And there's like three beds with no sectioning. And then there's a bed with sectioning here. And then there's like a little waiting area here. And there's an orthopedic. So these three beds are being used by physical therapy, which is going on. Wound care is going on. And then the orthopedic clinic's going on, all in a room this size. So definitely space is a limiting factor too. But 40 patients a day is about what they're seeing. Our Haitian partners, Fadi Mach, which is the Haitian Foundation for Diabetes and Cardiovascular Management. They do a lot of research. They're going to start another research study. It's run by these remarkable people, the Larcos, their husband and wife, like the Cooks. Nancy's up top. She's the driving force. She's a strong-willed woman, and she runs a tight ship. Philippe is her husband. Her dad, Rene Larco, was the very first diabetic doctor in Haiti, and she sort of took over the reins for him. They have physicians who work in their group who are general surgeons who do some of the preventative care. They also do some of the surgical stuff, too. So there are some other physicians who are doing some of that. And I met with them, and I was suspicious that the preventative care was being done. But after our meeting last week, I definitely think it's being done. It's not being done enough, but at least it's being done. So that's one of the things we have to work on. here's another video. Just kind of a little bit of a story of the project. I don't know if this is...
Miracles happen every day in Haiti.
Can you guys hear that?
After the earthquake, we realized that 80% of the earthquake victims had wounds, and this is why we focused a program on them. As we moved this into the Bernard Muzz Hospital, we began to create a program for all wounds, venous wounds, diabetic wounds, infected wounds, traumatic wounds. And over the past 2 years, this has been built into a program that is unique in the Caribbean. But the one major component of true wound care that we did not have was care of the diabetic. We were taking care of the diabetic because we'd see the diabetic patient, but we did not have the true expertise we needed to have a continuum of prevention, of evaluation, of management, wound care and of surgery. All we had was wound care and surgery. And it became very obvious to me and to others and to Dr. Buzz that if we were going to be at the class center of excellence that we wanted to be in wound care, that we must have a diabetic program. And like everything that we've done here, we have realized that nobody can do this alone. And all of a sudden, I had an email from Dr. Neil Donahue. We began to talk, and within days, we realized we could maybe do something here. Then from Dr. Neil Donahue, he suddenly said, well, I know Dr. Larco. I know Dr. Patrick Tahir, who's been in Haiti. All of a sudden, I sat back and said, I've got my team of experts. And I said, would you ever be interested? And before I could finish the sentence, Dr. Dunner, who said, what time do you want us to leave?
But there's no formalized program like this anywhere in the Caribbean. Project MediShare has an ongoing wound center right now, so they're treating the acute diabetic wounds and all types of wounds. And Fadi Mach is also doing a wound care program, but they manage diabetes overall, so they're managing patients' blood sugars. They've had a foot program since about 2009. And the goal is to bring those two together for Bernard Meves to have the diabetic foot ulcer program, the acute ulcers, the infections, the surgical component, with Body Mach managing the diabetes and preventative foot care too. They're hoping to establish a preventative foot care program to prevent diabetic patients from developing ulcers to begin with.
Body Mach being the leader in terms of managing, providing care, providing education for diabetics from the medical end, is a perfect partner for the hospital, because with that partnership, we can train body mock doctors how to identify, how to understand the diabetic foot problem and all the complications much earlier, so that when the patient does get an early diabetic wound, a Fahadimak family practitioner, diabetic specialist, can send that patient to our hospital wound center at Bernard Mudd for early and aggressive and efficient care to heal that wound. Whereas traditionally, many times, those wounds became so infected that the foot couldn't be saved, and those patients went on to amputation.
And it's a classic saying, if you want to help people, you don't give them a fish, you teach them how to fish. We are here to teach the Haitians and to replace us to do the work. This is their country. And then people say, well, how can you do it when you don't have all the equipment, all the expensive dressing and things? You do it by teaching them the principles, watching them apply the principles, watching them use their own ingenuity. But what we can do is teach them the highest and most effective medical care in the basic disease that affects everyone here every day.
They give us a job. They know the culture. They know the people. They know the nuances of the society that we don't know. And it needs to be self-supporting. It can't be about Neil or myself or John McDonald. It has to be bigger than us. We just have to teach the teachers so that they can then make the program grow within Haiti, and then we're more of a supportive mechanism.
So all of a sudden, we realized that we had to have a new building. And we looked across the street, and here were a three-story, two-story building that had been a maternity hospital, and it was empty. And we said, well, maybe we should buy this hospital. Now we can really expand. Now we can have a place for teachers. We can have a place for volunteers. We can expand the clinic. We can do so many things that we couldn't do before. And it's been a gift. And it's been a godsend.
I was just working on the numbers, actually. There's approximately 300,000 diabetic patients in Haiti. And the ultra range for diabetic patient is between 4 and 10%, with up to 25% being the number. And 56% of those patients who do develop an ulcer end up with an infection. And then 20% of those end up with an amputation. The five-year survival rate is less than 50%. That means 3,000 deaths just due to a diabetic foot wound alone here. And we could have a substantial impact on that. In just 1 year, I definitely would like to have a very formalized program here with set protocols at the wound care center, with continued teaching of the surgical part's going to take time. It's going to take doing surgery together with the Haitian doctors. Hopefully we have the preventative program up and going through Fahadimak. Also, that's equally important and it can't be overlooked. I would like to have a really formalized program here in Port-au-Prince that in a year from now is ready to be taken to Jacmel or Albert Schweitzer Hospital or Lakai or any other city in Haiti to start having satellites. But we already will have the model established, up and running, to have a reputation of excellence, and the Haitian people know that it works. And the bigger vision is Caribbean is one region of the world. There's doctors all over the world that have the same need for knowledge. So ultimately, the vision would be to develop an international conference on diabetes and wound healing, where we can invite diabetic wound caregivers from every country in the world to come here to Haiti and make this that international center of excellence that we all envision.
This is going to be an enormous success. It already is, in its own basic way. But we're just beginning to build on it. The opportunities are unbelievable. And the reason the opportunities are unbelievable, it's so easy to be a good farmer if suddenly somebody gives you land that's perfect to grow things in. And that's what this is.
So, you can see he's a charismatic dude, isn't he? So, podiatry's role. Podiatry has an unprecedented opportunity with the Haitian program to be the architect of international diabetic foot program and limb preservation program. And then it can be, like I said, a model for the developing world and really exposing podiatry to a large part of the world that isn't familiar with what we do. And this is some of the presentation, which I'm sure most of you know this stuff, but that when I was at the European Wound Management Conference in Denmark that I talked about was the Thomson Reuters study and the Duke study, both. And the Thomson Reuters study, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, was looked at 316,000 patients with commercial insurance and 157,000 patients with Medicare, and a focus on one specific aspect of diabetic foot care, those patients that developed an ulcer. And a comparison was made looking at the year preceding the ulceration to see if any care from a podiatrist was provided to that patient. So the patients that had that were commercially insured, the patients that had a podiatry visit had a lot more comorbidities than the unmatched comparison, and even more so than the matched comparisons. And like I said in that study from Denmark, the higher the rate of comorbidities, the worse the outcomes were with the mortality rates too. So we're dealing with a complex patient most of the time. And even in the Medicare beneficiaries, again, the patients that were seen by podiatrists before the ulceration had a much higher rate of risk factors. And what we're looking at is the 12 months before an ulcer and then the 2 years after an ulcer. So were they seen by a podiatrist, and then how much measure the amputation rate and healthcare costs for the 2 years going forward. The average savings over a three-year time period, the year before the ulcer and the 2 years after, for commercial insurance was almost $20,000, and with Medicare was about $4,000. So you say, okay, so how's that apply to the developing world? I mean, they have zero money to begin with anyway. So any money that you can save, if you can keep a person that's these patients that we're seeing that have these diabetic foot ulcers aren't 70, 80-year-olds. They're 40 or 50-year-olds who can still work, still contribute, and still have a family to take care of. So if you can prevent them from getting an amputation, they can still be contributing members to society and still care for their family. And plus it takes a financial strain off an already financially burdened society. So it is important, even in the developing world. And the amputation rates were 28% lower and 24% lower rate on hospitalizations for commercial insurance, and with Medicare, 22 and 13. So some substantial numbers when we look at that. And the Duke study basically just looked at having a podiatrist and a lower extremity clinician specialist and related to lower extremity amputations. They looked at a Medicare sample of claims from 91 to 2007. They put them in stages. And you can see the numbers. Most of the patients were in stage 1, 117,000, 31 and 2, 31 and 3, and 55 in stage 4. Basically, their principal finding was that patients that visited a podiatrist and a lower extremity specialist within a year before developing all stage complications were between 31% ulceration and 77% cellulitis, and Charcot as likely to undergo an amputation compared with individuals visiting other health professionals. So the conclusions from the study that visiting both a podiatrist and a lower extremity specialist was significantly beneficial, and the results were most favorable to a pattern of care involving a combination of podiatrist and lower extremity specialist. And that was I think a really important study. Both of those were for the doctors that I spoke to in Denmark. They had no idea the role of podiatry and the importance of podiatry because they weren't familiar with what we do. So again, if we go back to the three P's, preventative podiatric care, well, how does that apply? Well, diabetic foot exam and education, like Emily was speaking about, and risk classification, I think is very important. Routine diabetic foot care of nails and calluses. I'm trying to get the FODIMOC to do routine nail care and callus care. And I found out that they are doing it, but they're not having patients come back on a regular basis. So that was our discussion this time. They need to come back every 9 or 10 weeks and have it done over and over. It's not a one-time thing. I think I have a solution for diabetic shoes and orthoses and bracing and pressure reduction now. Equinus, I'm a big Equinus person. I lecture on Equinus all the time. I think it's a miss. You know, we talk about the three things when preventative care, so education, preventative care, diabetic shoes and orthoses. I think Equinus management is the fourth leg of preventative care in the diabetic foot. Most patients have Equinus that are diabetic, like Emily talked about, and just the devastation of Equinus on the diabetic foot, like she mentioned. Grant's study showed non-enzymatic lication of the Achilles tendon leading to Equinus. Then Lavering, Armstrong, and Bolton and Javin in 2002 showed that those diabetic patients that did have Equinus were at 3 times higher risk for elevated peak plantar pressures in the forefoot. And furthermore, if you take Johnson and Christensen's JFAS article, and a little quote from it, It's the most profound causal agent in footpath mechanics and is frequently linked to common foot pathology. And several recent articles have shown the incidence is higher. Hill showed in 1995 up to 96.5%, and biomechanical consequences are worse than we previously understood. So equinus is devastating, and it can be treated by stretching. It's simple. So it's the sort of, you know, redheaded stepchild when it comes to diabetic foot prevention. And I think we need to do a better job in managing equinus in our diabetic patients. But what about proactive care? Well, prophylactic surgery. If a patient has a hammer toe and you know it's causing a problem, we can fix the hammer toe. Whether it's ingrown toenail or a fungal nail, hammer toe, bunion, lump and bump removals, keeping things simple. You know, a TAL for acute Charcot or for foot ulcerations that aren't healing, treatment of onychomycosis, earlier vascular intervention when available, like we talked about before, using arterial Dopplers, ABIs, and transcutaneous oxygen. They can do ABIs down there. We have ABIs available. They have handheld Dopplers in the clinic, too. Biomechanical considerations, you know, equinus, like we talked about. You know, if you amputate a second toe, they're going to develop a bunion. The buttressing effect of the second toe is gone. So having an orthotic with a toe filler, where the second toe was, to help prevent the big toe from going laterally, is a simple preventative thing that can be done. But we don't do it. If you amputate the hallux, I guarantee you in about a year or so, you're going to get a hammer toe on the second toe. Then you're going to get an ulcer on the dorsal aspect of the second toe. Then you amputate the second toe. It's just, you know, is there something we can do to prevent that hammer toe from happening? Stump equinus post-TMA. You know, in my opinion, if you're doing a TMA and you're not doing a TAL at the same time, you're not practicing up to the standard of care. You're not. And taking it further back, if you do a Chopard's amputation, you're getting equinovarus. Do you need to do an anterior tip transfer at the same time and a TAL? Those are things that I'm trying to teach down there. Post-incident podiatric care, we're talking about wound care, debridement, dressing management, lymphedema management, infection management, osteomyelitis, offloading. I mean, what we're limited to in Haiti is football dressings, I think, are our best option for offloading. You know, football dressings like less than $5. And they don't, the program's so underfunded, we don't have the web roll, which you need three rolls of web roll for a football dressing. A roll of web roll is about 50 cents. So it's like $1.50 for the web roll. I took down three cases with me when I went down there last week because they had zero Webrol in the clinic. And the other thing, I was talking to the doctors at FODMAP, they were putting football dressings on patients and letting them walk with no surgical shoe. That sort of defeats the purpose. So you got to have a surgical shoe with the football dressing. I mean, total contact casts are great. I love them. They're a hassle to take on and off. They're super expensive. They're not reality down there. Football dressing is reality. It's not that expensive. So it's a matter of educating them about the football. They know how to put them on. They just got to know when to use them. They got to have the supplies to do them. They got to have the surgical shoes with them also. Surgical intervention, flaps, grafts, bone resection, deformity correction, and then functional amputations. Again, we're going to have amputations because there's no vascular intervention there. So let's make them functional when possible. Let's not just do a BK when we can do a TMA. That's really what it comes down to. This is one of my other heroes I worked on with the Clubfoot Project, and we were down there in 2009. This is from March 2009. We were lecturing on Clubfoot, and he's a pediatric orthopedic surgeon from San Antonio, and he had this quote, and I think it's great. You know, you talk about parachute medicine. When you jump in, you do 20 or 30 surgeries, and you leave. You help a limited number of people, but when you leave skills and not scars, so you leave your knowledge, you leave your experience, you're helping a much broader base of people, especially if you're teaching the influence makers in that area. So if you're teaching the young doctors, you're going to teach the residents behind them, you're going to teach the students behind them, you have a much more effect instead of helping, you know, a handful of patients. So conclusions, the diabetic foot is devastating in developing countries. Evidence-based medicine supports the role of podiatry in the management of the diabetic foot, decreasing amputations, hospitalization rates, while saving money. There is an essential role for podiatry in the developing countries. And again, the three P's of management, preventative, proactive, and post-incident. Thank you very much. Do you have any questions? Brock is, it's, I forget what that stands for, but they actually, yeah, it's run by an orthotist. They do a really good job of, they take negative impressions and they make orthotics. I saw them making orthotics for kids for flat feet, so yeah. I think so. I just met him for the first time last week, and I'm going back at the end of January. And he asked me to lecture at the medical school, so I'm hoping I get to spend a little more time. He was doing a surgery right before I was working in the OR, so it was kind of, you know, in passing I was introduced to him. But yeah, he said he does FemPop, so. Yeah. Yeah. They could, yeah. Yeah, they have x-ray, the place I work at. So I think that could be arranged. Yeah. And you know, their doctors are very educated. It's just an experience thing, you know, teaching them, you know, how to do transmeds. They don't do them. So that's one of the things I've been working on. Thank you very much. You know, there's a need for both. When I was there, there was a team from Canada there, and they had a little bit, right? They had a different group coming 4 weeks in a row, but they were doing all these crazy. I was scrubbing to do a TMA, and they had this kid, teenager, who they had a sarcoma on his eye. They had resected his whole face. I was crazy. I was scrubbing my hands, looking through the window in the OR, watching them do this. I'm like, oh, wow. And so they at least have people coming back through for the next month, but there was not one Haitian doctor in there being taught as they're doing the case. That was the sad part about it. I mean, you know, you got to work together. And too often, I used to go to Honduras before I went to Haiti, and I went with a big group. We would literally take over the hospital, and all the Honduran doctors would leave. It was totally, you know, I'd do 30 surgeries, and I felt great. I was younger. It's, you know, not as wise as I am now as I've gotten older, but, you know, it just had no sustainability because I stopped going to Honduras, I started going to Haiti, so who's doing that stuff now? Nobody. Anybody's interested, let me know. I can give you my card. You know, I need help. Unfortunately, Dr. Donahue's no longer involved with the program, so it's just me and the Dr. McDonald's sort of the man in charge, but I'm in charge of the diabetic foot program. So thank you very much for your time. Enjoy your meeting. Thanks.